we repent that you'll hear us from heaven and that you'll heal our land. So God, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would just help us to humble ourselves before you. Help us to pray. Help us to seek your face. Help us to repent and turn from our wicked ways so that we could be confident that you hear us from heaven. We could be confident that you'll heal our land. And we ask, Lord, that you just be here among us powerfully this morning, that your spirit and your presence would be known and we would be felt. And we ask, God, that you'd help us to worship you fully in spirit and in truth, God. In spirit and in truth, Lord, we ask that you'd help us to worship you. And you remind me again that obedience is better than sacrifice. Help us to be obedient to your word. Help us to worship you according to your word, according to your will, with our hands lifted high, lifting a shout unto you, God. May you be pleased with our worship this morning. We love you so much and we thank you so much. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Oh, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave.
Faithful, you are. Faithful. your faithfulness, and I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness, and I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness.
Of the goodness of God.
Hallelujah. The goodness of God. It doesn't matter if you've known God for a day, a week, a month, a year, 10 years, 20, 30, 40. It doesn't matter how long you've known God. He's always been good and perfect. And he's always loved you. No matter if you're here today and you know Jesus or you don't know him, he's always been good to you. There's always been his goodness available to you and in your life. Every breath we have, every step we take, every particle we can see, literally everything that's good and perfect comes from him. So we can sing of the goodness of God and know without a shadow of a doubt that he is good. I can't credit myself for being born. I can't credit myself for knowing God now. We can't credit ourselves for most things that are good and perfect. Hallelujah. But let's pray together this morning that we would thrive and that we would have opportunities to share these Thrive cards that we have for Seaport. On the card, it says, just like it says up here, spiritually, physically, financially, relationally, mentally. So pray in agreement with me now, church. Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your son, Jesus, for sending him to die on our behalf. Thank you for raising him from the dead. Thank you for giving us the same hope that we will raise from the dead. Thank you that in your son, Christ Jesus, we have eternal life, that we have the mind of Christ and we can overcome sin. We no longer need to be slaves to sin, but can be free. We ask God in the name of Jesus that you would give us opportunities to share these Thrive cards. You'd give us opportunities to share the gospel and the truth with friends, with strangers, with anybody, Lord. We ask that you would fill us with your spirit, that you'd give us boldness, that you'd give us strength, that you'd give us courage to share the truth. And Lord, I pray for anyone here, including myself, in the areas that we aren't thriving, that by your spirit, you would help us to thrive, that you'd grow us in your spirit, that you'd grow us in all the things that you are, so that we can testify of your goodness. If we haven't truly tasted, if we haven't truly seen, help us, Lord, to see. Help us to taste of your goodness so we can go to that person and say, oh, I know how good God is. Pray, God, that you'd move in every heart and mind this morning and reveal your goodness. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, God. Thank you for this. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, you can clap. He's worthy of the praise if you want to clap. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Again, welcome. But can we give a special welcome to all of our visitors this morning and give them a round of applause for being here? It's a blessing to have you guys here. Again, my name is Rolando, if you don't know who I am. But we don't just want to welcome you. We want to connect with you, and the best way to connect is to hit that QR code that's on the seat back that's in front of you. Point your camera at it. It'll bring you to a link. You can also get connected with Seaport by texting welcome to the number that will pop up on the screen right there. You can also get connected with Seaport through our social media platforms. There's a bunch of different platforms there. And I think one of the most helpful things is also the app that we have. If you download that app, there's all the different ways to get connected with Seaport there. And if you are visiting us, maybe it's your first, second, third time, Pastor Brad will be back by the cafe after service and he'll be more than happy to speak with you and talk to you a little bit about the church and just get to know you a little bit. But I also have some opportunities I want to share with everybody that Seaport has going on. On July 31st, we have our Sunday Fun Day. There's going to be opportunities to just have a bunch of fun, all age ranges. There'll be I don't want to spoil too much, but there's going to be lots of stuff to do. It'll be a nice, sunny, hot day. There's going to be a picnic. There's going to be burgers, hot dogs. There'll be water inflatables, a bunch of different games. There'll be a cornhole tournament that I'm pretty excited about. But please register for that. so we can get the food that we need for you there. And then there's also going to be ice cream there for purchase, and a water war is going on. And with those two things, the ice cream will be like a fundraiser type thing for the girls' club. And then water wars will be the same way for the Rangers. So keep that in mind, too, if you are joining us. But please register. We've got a bunch of stuff planned for that day. We also have MPAC Girls Ministries is getting together for their annual hike at Purgatory Chasm. The hike is to the chasm and to the waterfall, followed after by a picnic and a devotional. And it's open to girls in second grade and up. But if your girls are younger than that, if they're accompanied by mom, they are welcome to come as well. That's July 30th. We have Engage on August 2nd. It's a Tuesday with Pastor Brad. So if you want to understand what God designed you for, what role you have in God's kingdom, how you really fit in all of this, you can do that with Pastor Brad and find out your spiritual gifts and a lot of good information that's biblical as to who you are in Christ. We are returning our baby bottles on July 24th. So if you're getting them filled up with your coins, your checks, your cash, make sure you get them in here on July 24th. And then on Wednesday, we will, as we continue in this Love Your Neighbor series, Pastor Brad will be talking about anger. So that'll be a good one. I know I've struggled with anger plenty of times in my life. And even after knowing Christ, there have been pockets where I've struggled with anger. So it's good to learn biblically how to overcome those things. But here's Pastor Brad.
Yeah. Thank you, Rolando. The series Love Your Neighbor, good morning, everyone. The series Love Your Neighbor is really about understanding these incredibly important topics, as well as, you know, helping you to overcome them and helping you to help others overcome them. So this week is anger. We've already looked at abortion. We've looked at abuse. We've looked at adultery. So we can breathe a little bit with this one. But anyway, and also we are doing another water baptism on August the 14th out at Bluff Point. You can sign up for that too. All right, through the app. I trust you well. Are you well?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm so glad to hear that. So I've got a bunch of things I'm going to tell you about very quickly. Okay, the things that are happening around here. So one of the very first things I want to do is I just want to say, you know, there's lots of people stepping into ministries around here, and we just want to recognize them. I mean, the cleaning team picked up three new folks, okay? So we've got, you know what, why don't you just stand when you, look, we got Tina, Gifty, Hazel, all right? Okay, look at that, that's on the cleaning team. Okay, nursery, look, there's Hannah and Noah, look at that, all right? And our connection process, Amanda, who's also assisting in one of the classrooms. Isn't this great? And there's more that we're going to introduce to you probably next week. People that have gone through Engage with me and then done the interview process. We had a wonderful conversation. They've stepped into these ministries, and we're better together because they are. Amen? Isn't it great? Hallelujah. Now, a couple of other things I want to tell you. Chris, come on up here and join me. And Nicole, you guys can come up here if you would, please. Chris is a pastoral intern. He's a chief. He's got a couple of years left in the military, but he has completed a three-year, what's called School of Ministry program with the Assemblies of God, and will soon be getting credentials as a licensed minister with the Assemblies of God. Okay? That's if the executive presbyter over this region recommends him. We're laughing because that's me.
They're laughing because I pointed at you.
Yeah. So, anyway. But we're making some changes around here, good changes. Chris has done so much around here with the tech and with youth, and but he's making a little bit of a shift today. You can hear more about this. But Chris is, and Nicole, I've asked them to really help us go forward with our ministry to the military because this is what they've done for 20 years. So they know the language. They know the culture. You know, I know little bits, but I've walked beside it. They've walked in it. And they're going to help me, and they're going to help us up our ministry level to our military. And that's a great win because they've lived it. They've experienced it. You know, they know it. And so it's a great win. But one of the very first things that that Chris has done, and he's going to tell you about that right now. So, Chris, tell us about this.
So, you know, if you don't know, military people, they get uprooted out of their lives. They come to a new area. They don't know anybody. And they're just planted there, right? And oftentimes, the families are left behind as the service member goes out to sea, right? Left to kind of pick up the pieces, figure everything out. And we just really want to minister to them. So one of the first things we're going to do is we're just going to provide them with a free movie night, kind of like last year when we did the movie nights out here. But instead of having them come to the church, we're going to take the movie to them. We're going to take the movie to them, and we're going to do it right in their backyard so we can minister to them right in their backyard. So on August 5th, we're going to be doing a movie night, Friday, August 5th. It's going to start at 8 o'clock.
And how big is this screen?
It's a 33-foot screen. If you haven't seen it here in the sanctuary, it takes up the entire sanctuary.
It's right massive.
And so we are going to provide them with a free movie, and then we are also going to have concessions and whatnot, and also to give back to the military community, any of the proceeds that come from those concessions, they're actually going to go to the Dolphin Scholarship that happens every year. And so we're going to do that, and we need volunteers, though. This doesn't happen in a box. It takes a lot of people to get it done, right? I need people to text the word SERVE to 969-2145 because I need people to do setup, I need people to do concessions, and then I need to do people to come and do takedown, right? And so it's going to take all of us to make this thing really, really work and be successful and to really minister to our military. And so we're probably going to do this more than once, but this is going to be the first one, and it's going to be right up in Navy housing. There's a large field. If you're familiar with where the Navy Lodge is, that's where we're going to do it.
But the Navy is interested, or I should say it's Balfour Beatty, whoever's running the housing over there now. They're interested in promoting this, aren't they?
They are. Yeah, they are. The Navy Lodge General Manager and Balfour Beatty, they are going to publicize it and advertise it to the base. They're going to publicize it and advertise it to all that live in military housing. So it's going to be out there. It's going to be awesome.
Isn't this great? Hallelujah.
We will probably have some posters to hand out, yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah. It's just, you know, we're not going to go in there slinging all kinds of Bible verses, okay? This is just kind of a low-level kind of touch point and just blessing them and loving them. And so it's just glory to God. And so I'm excited about this. We bought that screen a year ago for nearly $1,000 with the intention of being able to use it like this. And so now we're stepping into it, and I'm grateful for that. Hallelujah. Well, there's more changes coming. And so Rolando and Bree, why don't you come up here and join me as well? You know these guys, okay? Yeah. They've been, yeah, Chris and Nicole, you can stay right up here, please. And stay up here, please. And they... you know these guys, married 2 weeks. They don't have a clue what they're doing yet. But anyway. I know, some of you have been married 10 years, and the same thing can be said of you. So, okay, anyway. All right. So, but anyway. This has been in the works for a little while, but we finally have engaged this fully. Starting this week on a part-time basis, Seaport Community Church is hiring Rolando on a part-time basis, and of course Bree will be assisting him right there to become the Director of Youth and Young Adult Ministries here at Seaport Community Church. And you know, Chris and I, and we're all working on the, you know, the turnover, and you know, working on all of that. This is a brand new. It's going to be a brand new experience for Rolando, and so we're going to walk with him and train him and equip him and help him. And we know that this is what God wants us to do. And the board has been very, very excited about doing this. And so we're just you know, Chris has stepped in and done a good job this past year or so. We had 14 senior hires here on, and a lot of them don't come to this church. We had 14 of them here Friday night, senior hires. And so we want to see the youth ministry just grow and expand, and the young adult ministry is very, very important. And so those guys are going to be pushing those forward. Aren't you grateful for that? Yeah. Hallelujah. Why don't you guys stand with me? You're going to be seated for a little bit anyway, and I got more to tell you, and then we're going to hear from Jessica too. But let's just pray for, you know, I'm going to pray for Chris and Nicole. I'm going to pray for Rolando and Bree. These are great areas that are going to help this church go forward into some highly strategic areas. And I'm very excited about this because I've seen the future of Seaport, and it's more mind-boggling than I can tell you. And so we're trying to embrace all that God has. Father, thank you for Chris and all that he is and all that he's done here and how he and Nicole have blessed this place. The growth that we've seen in them has been really tremendous. And God, this guy along with Robert, and Lord, these two men have been an incredible asset and blessing to my life, especially these last 2.5 years. So God, as he steps into this new role and Nicole steps into this new role, God, may it just flourish and be able to help us do what we need to do in loving our military community more effectively. God, thank you for Rolando and Bree and just, God, the years that Bree spent growing up in this church and Rolando, God, coming to us recently. Lord, I just pray that these two would flourish and thrive. We use those words and we mean them. And that God, as they step into youth ministry and young adult ministry here, that those areas, God, would just go forward at levels we've never seen before here. And God, they're so incredibly important. We thank you, Father. We commit all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen, friends? Amen. Amen. Give them all a round of applause. Did you do that? It's awesome stuff. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. God bless you guys. Isn't this great? Go ahead, be seated. This is great stuff. Rolando's first day in the office. He'll be here in the office every Friday. He's working one day a week and kind of going from there with that. But there's more I want to just tell you just very quickly. There's a lot that's going to come up on the screen. I just want to say it's your giving that makes what you just saw possible. It doesn't just happen. It's your giving that does this, okay? But it's your giving that's done. This has all happened in the last like 2 months. Look at the screen. Look at the screen. You've helped buy a van for the Ukrainian refugees. That was $7,600. You've helped Judy Mensch. That was $4,200 that you gave. Okay? You're sponsoring a university campus missionary training conference for $2,500. We just took on another missionary to Boston University. That's going to be about $600 a year for 4 years at least. One of you crazies out there gave a significant gift to the Rangers and Girls Clubs. You know, bless you for that. You know, and then you gave $1,500 to help Mark Gardner minister to children in Fiji. That's all like in the last 2 months. 2 to 3 months, whatever that. Yeah, over $20,000. Is that great or what? That's great. The generous church is a blessed church. Amen? It just comes back to you, comes back to this church. And you know what? And so I'm just going to pray that we can continue to bless the work of God beyond us. Amen? But again, it's because you've tithed. It's because you've given missions offerings. It's because you've done all of that. You know, we're able to do what you see on the screen. Okay? Money doesn't come from some fund somewhere. There's no person outside of Seaport that's, you know, with some trust that's funding us. It's all from us. Amen? And so thank you. You know, I challenge you. I know it's kind of fun to give to specialized areas, and that's great. Don't forget the general fund because that's the thing that keeps all of it happening. Amen? That's what really keeps it all happening. And we're a little bit behind on that right now. So I believe we're going to catch up and exceed it. But the budget, but let's work together. Amen? Amen. Because this nobody's getting rich around here. Believe me. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of giving. Be honored in all that we give right now. Lord, help us to tithe. Help us to give offerings. Help us to trust you. It's scary. We look out there sometimes at inflation and all the crazy business, but God, you're not caught off guard and you're not running short because inflation. You are the God who provides, and we trust you, and we thank you. Help us to be faithful in the face of all the craziness we see. Thanks, Lord. Amen, friends? Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you for that. And there's ways to give on the screen. You can see how to give. lots of ways to give. On the little kiosk, through the app, texted in church, lots of different ways to give. And so thank you for that. One of our deacons, Jessica, is going to come right now and tell you about something. Jessica?
Good morning, church. I have something exciting to talk about, but first, can I ask Pastor Debbie to just leave the room, please? It's always a weird thing to request, right? Which are like, I'm going to boot one of the pastors here, but we'll get you back in a second. Okay. Got to wait until she goes. Yeah, turn off. Oh, yes. Turn off. And turn off your mic. Thanks. Wow, sneaky. So, okay. So, everyone, Pastor Debbie's birthday is coming up. So it is July 27th. So we're going to be celebrating next Sunday. So what I'm asking is that we don't have very many opportunities to like love on our pastors, right? But birthdays are one of them. So if you can bring any cards or any gifts this Wednesday or Sunday morning before service and bring them to the Welcome Center. I'm going to have a basket set up and we just want to shower her with gifts and thanksgiving and show our appreciation for her birthday. I'll give you an extra hint. She loves Amazon gift cards and cash. Okay. So just make sure you just put those in a card with some loving note and she'll be super happy. Okay. That's all. Now we're going to bring Chris up and he's going to continue the series with Samson. I'll go get Pastor Debbie.
Pastor Debbie back in. I need her at the end. Good morning, Seaport. How's everybody doing this morning? If you're excited about Pastor Debbie's birthday, I know I am. But have you ever met somebody of privilege? Have you ever met someone who was so prim and proper that they just seemed so, I don't know, destined for success? You know, you kind of see them walking around like their chest out, right? They have everything they need in their life to be successful. It seems perfect. They're perfect, right? Yet when you see them years later, you're shocked that you're wondering how they turned out, not how they were supposed to. You're like, what in the heck happened to this guy? He had everything going for him. They had given everything to them, and now look at them. And well, as it turns out, nobody's perfect. Nobody makes perfect choices all the time. No matter what your talents are, no matter what kind of gifts you might have, no matter how privileged you might be, we are, you know, we're still full of faults. We still have lots of flaws. We still have all kinds of failures. And the Bible is packed. It's packed with these kinds of ordinary, imperfect people, stories that are about scandal, struggle, stumbles, doubts, and intrigue. I mean, let's just pull a few off the top of our head, right? Noah was a drunk and he passed out. Abraham lied about being married and then slept with his maid. And Moses, he was a murderer. You know, the list, it goes on and on. So much, it's almost like they're of biblical proportions. Yet, they're faults. Their faults are evidence of God's willingness, His willingness and His desire to make the most imperfect people do His perfect work. And no one demonstrates this better than our character today. And if you need a reminder of God's tolerance, of His mercy and His love, you'll find it. You'll find it in all these people. And if you've ever faced or you've ever been faced with self-doubt and wonder, how could God use someone like me to change the world? Just remember that there are so many not-so-perfect people that accomplished great things in the hands of an extraordinary, awesome God. You know, now as we start to scroll through the pages of the book of Judges, we'll meet someone who's been given it all, yet we wind up saying, what happened to this guy? And it turns out he ends up being one of the most flawed and imperfect of them all, Samson. And since the book of Judges devoted more paragraphs and pages to Samson's story, I think that's where we need to spend some of our time. And if you remember last week, Pastor Brad was talking about Gideon being the deliverer. Now, I want you to fast forward a little bit, because here we go again. Here we go again with this cycle of disobedience, of oppression, of them calling out to God, and then God sending them a deliverer. So if you could pull out your preferred biblical viewing platform, whatever that might be, we're going to be in Judges chapter 13, and we're going to unpack some of the complexities of Samson's life. You know, his story starts with us meeting mom and dad, like a lot of stories, right? We have Manoah and his wife, a couple who they were unable to have children. But God intervened in this situation, and they were to have a son. And more than that, God placed a special calling on their soon-to-be kin, and it was moved, and it was knit, and it was together before he was even in his mother's womb. He had been handpicked by God to liberate the Israelites. He grew up knowing what God's will for his life was. It wasn't a secret. I figure, you know, they didn't have cars back then, but I think they had donkeys and camels. They probably had that, you know, bumper sticker on the back of the camel that was like, "My kid's an honor roll student." You know, it wasn't a secret. He had his marching orders. He was a Nazirite. He had this vow that he had to abstain from anything that comes from a grape. No contact with dead bodies and no haircuts. I mean, that must be nice. But, you know, he walked around with this, what I like to call the big C, this sense of confidence. You know what I'm talking about, the guy that walks around with his chest held high. Some might call it cockiness. I call it confidence. But there were still rules that needed to be followed. And Samson, he was well aware of what they were. You know, Samson's, he had all of the makings of a real-life superhero. I mean, God had blessed him with this supernatural strength, which armed Samson with everything he would need to deliver God's people. Well, that was the plan anyway. Spoiler alert, sadly, in the end, Samson comes up more like a supervillain than a superhero. You know, and unlike those fictional stories of Superman and Batman, what he never quite learned was with this great power comes great responsibility, and often comes a lot of sacrifice. And when telling the story of Samson, we can't gloss over the fact that he was reckless. He was reckless. He was irresponsible. And oftentimes, he was inebriated. I mean, he was constantly disappointing and endangering the Israelites, those in which he was supposed to be protecting. The truth is, Samson had more vices than virtues. He was about as imperfect as they come, truly unable to listen and follow the will of God. It's crazy because I think for most kids, the strong Samson is one of the favorite Bible characters, right? When we think of Samson, oftentimes people think like that strong, mighty one. He was big and strong, a champion who would push out against the oppressors. But unfortunately, this is an instance where we're still fighting this global pandemic. And I'm not talking about a COVID recurrence. I'm not talking about monkeypox, right? I'm talking about CBS. And I'm sure you're sitting there scratching your head like, CBS, where is he going with this? I'm talking about children's Bible story syndrome, where these well-intentioned Bible stories have missed the deeper lessons that are intertwined within all these flawed people. You see, God, although he infused Samson with this supernatural strength and stamina, so much so that that big C, that confidence, that had him full of himself. He only did what he thought was right in his own eyes. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? He wasn't immune to the "I know what's best for me" earthly way of thinking. And so let's jump into Samson's life. One day when Samson was in Timnah and one of the Philistine women caught his eye. There it is. A woman caught his eye. I'm sure a lot can relate to that. When he returned home, he told his father and mother, "A young Philistine woman in Timnah caught my eye. I want to marry her. Get her for me." I mean, can you imagine that? Telling your parents, "Get her for me." You know what that sounds like? That sounds a lot like Veruca from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Like, "I want it now." You know, his father and mother, they objected. However, isn't there even a woman in our tribe or among the other Israelites that you could marry, they asked? Why must you marry a pagan Philistine to find a wife? But even in their attempts to persuade him, Samson told his father, get her for me. She looks good for me. I want her now. Now let's ignore the arrogantness of this story for a moment. And let's point out that God also commanded the Israelites not to marry Canaanite women, which included the Philistines. This isn't because God was prejudiced against the Philistines, but he knew that they worshiped all sorts of gods and they participated in child sacrifices. Yet despite all this, Samson didn't care. Samson did Samson. I think we've all met that guy. You're like, you try to tell him, but you're like, all right, dude, you do you. But he completely disregarded his family and God because that girl, that girl looked good. He turned against God to follow the desires of a flesh problem. And we're going to get to that shortly. But for now, how about a show of hands? A show of hands on anybody who's ever been mad. Anybody ever been mad in here? I know Rolando's been. He said it earlier. I mean, really mad. I'm not just talking a little mad. I'm talking about really mad, like raging mad. You know, Scripture first exposes Samson's tendency for rage at his bachelor party. As was the custom back then, Samson, he threw a week-long party, the kegger of all keggers, right, for his upcoming nuptials. And among the guests were 30 Philistines, a.k.a. kind of the wedding party. And Samson, he just couldn't keep his confidence to himself. No. He had to up the ante a little bit just to mess with them, just to mess with his, you know, new tribe. He proposed a wager. I can just picture him now, kind of overly confident, intoxicated, taunting them, saying, hey, guys, I have a riddle for you. Let me tell you a riddle. And if you solve my riddle during these 7 days of celebration, I will give you 30 fine linen robes and 30 sets of festival clothing. But if you can't solve it, I get the same. So here he goes. He says, out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. And several days go by, and some more days go by. And as his bridal party of Philistines, they grow more and more puzzled by this challenge and then frustrated, nonetheless, that they can't solve it. And this kind of tit-for-tat banter starts to unravel, like when, you know, two brothers are at it. And they're going to up the ante. Now they threaten to kill his blushing bride and her father if they don't get him the answer. And because of her relentless cries, we all know what that looks like, she eventually coaxes him for the answer and then reports back to her tribe. So before sunset on the last day of the feast, they answer Samson's little brain teaser. And immediately, Samson, he knows that he's bamboozled. He knows that his wife has just betrayed him. He never even told his parents about it. So he storms out. He storms out in a fit of rage. In fact, the Bible says he went down to the town of Ascalon, killed 30 men. They got a riddle. They got it right. And then he went and killed 30 men, took their belongings and gave their clothing to the men who had solved the riddle. I don't know if they really solved it, though. But Samson was furious about what had happened, and he went back home to live with his father and mother. He was so furious that he had to go away and calm down. So furious that it took several months for him to calm down. And then Samson, he traveled back like, hey, it's all good, I'm calm now. And he came back to lay with his wife, only to find out that she had now been married to today's equivalent of like his best man. And yet again, now we see him again freaking out. His rage gets the best of him. And now he ups the ante again, and he feels justified now because of his actions. Listen to what it says in chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Then he went out and caught 300 foxes. He tied their tails in pairs, and he fastened a torch to each pair of tails. Then he lit the torches and let the foxes run through the grain fields of the Philistines. He burned all the grain to the ground, including the sheaves and the uncut grain. He also destroyed their vineyards and olive groves. Later, the Bible says, with great fury, he killed many. I mean, can you even imagine that? This guy grabbed a bunch of foxes and jackals, lit them on fire, and then sent them out into the forest. I mean, I don't know about you, but I get the sense that this guy, he's got an anger problem. He kind of reminds me of the Incredible Hulk. Don't make me angry. You wouldn't want to see me when I'm angry. Hulk smash. But Samson, his ability to keep his anger in check made him a menace to everyone around him. Does anybody know anybody like that? This eventually led his own people turned him over to the Philistines. And they did that because they were more concerned about being culturally relevant. They were more concerned with being keepers of the peace. So they turned him over so that it would prevent more bloodshed. You see, they were just keeping the peace. The Philistines, they sent 1,000 men to retrieve Samson. And again, Hulk smash happens, right? He lost his temper. He becomes enraged. So much so that he grabs, I still can't even believe this. He grabs the fresh jaw of a donkey. And he kills 1,000 people with the fresh jaw of a donkey. I mean, all I can imagine is seeing this Hulk spinning around, slaying people with a donkey jaw. Clearly he's got an anger issue. I mean, does this sound familiar to anybody? Well, I mean, not the killing of 1,000 people, but I mean, does anybody have trouble keeping their anger in check? Any Hulk smashers out there? I saw a few hands. Saw you, Dave. I think that's why he works out all the time. But do you just fly off the handle all the time? Just think about it. I mean, how many times have we said something in anger that we wish we could take back in that moment? Like, as soon as the words came out, you're like, oh, jeez. I know I have. But why is that okay? You know, the Bible says, short-tempered people do foolish things. Would you agree? I agree. Isn't that the truth? Because when you fly off the handle, when you fly into this fit of rage, you seldom make a safe landing. You know, uncontrolled anger, it's not only harmful to you, but it's harmful to the people around you. It's harmful to the ones that you love most. And so how do we handle our anger? You know, the Bible tells us that a hot-tempered person starts fights, where a cool-tempered person stops then. And then that fools vent their anger. But the wise, they quietly hold it back. You know, control is the key here. And the Bible says in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. This is clearly something that Samson was lacking in his life. You know, listen, the next time that you are feeling that Hulk smash come about, the next time you feel like it needs to break free and you just need to let it fly, when you feel yourself losing your temper, quickly go to God and ask Him to fill you with His Spirit. Because that very act of prayer is often enough to extinguish that sudden flare-up. We're going to have more on that on Wednesday. But unfortunately, rage wasn't Samson's only flaw. If you haven't figured this out yet, he also had the tendency to succumb to the lustful desires and indulge in that forbidden fruit. You know, I already mentioned that Samson, that he was engaged to be married to a Philistine who was off limits. She was off limits, yet here again, he's going where he isn't supposed to go. He's doing what he isn't supposed to do, and he's just giving in to these lustful desires. You know, Samson, he would later on meet another woman, one who again caught his eye. The Bible says in Judges chapter 16, verse 4, that sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah. You know, I think the word love here is used kind of loosely. I'm thinking they meant to say maybe infatuated. It sounds as though he was infatuated with her beauty. But although the Bible never comes right out and says it, most scholars agree that she was most likely the temple prostitute, which fits his, you know, previous visits to town, this pattern that he had established in his life. You know, Samson's own lust for Delilah, it just kept him coming back again and again and again. Soon, 5 Philistine kings, the head of the entire Philistine nation, they approached Delilah, right? Because they knew what type of person she was, and they offered her money. Right? They offered her 5,500 pieces of silver. And, you know, I was kind of like, all right, well, I mean, how much is that really? So I did a little research. Apparently, with Friday's market price, that would have been about $50,000. In order for her to discover the strength of, or the source of Samson's strength. You know, in other words, they wanted to know what this beast's kryptonite was. For that money, Delilah, she was happy to oblige. And I mean, come on now, Samson, he really knew how to pick him. But can you just see her trying to swindle him? Can you see this happening? Pressing in every day when she says, how can you tell me I love you? You don't even share your secrets with me. You're not being transparent and honest with me. You're not sharing with me. She pressed and she pressed and she pressed until Samson, he just couldn't stand it any longer. Finally confessing, my hair has never been cut, for I was dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as everyone else. And if you're familiar with the story, you know that that night, as Samson slept, Delilah held her in his lap or between her knees while the Philistines quietly shaved his head, stealing his strength. Now the Philistines, they didn't want to kill Samson. No. They wanted to capture him. They wanted to humiliate him. They wanted to make a spectacle or a symbol of him. Because without his mighty strength, the Philistines, they easily bound him. They easily tied him up and they gouged his eyes out. They bound him with chains and put him to work grinding the grain in prison. You know, lust was obviously one of Samson's downfalls. For all his typical strength and all of his physical strength, he lacked the moral strength to make good choices. But let me assure you, Samson, he isn't the only one to struggle with this type of temptation. I mean, ultimately, he made stupid decisions. Lust is a consequence of the flesh's desire, which so many find themselves bound today by. You know, just as we heard Pastor Brad speak about adultery this past Wednesday, every marriage faces these challenges. The challenge of doing what is right in their own eyes at that exact moment versus doing what's right in God's eyes. You know, from the television to the internet, social media to instant access, we are constantly bombarded with this assault of sensual images. I mean, think about how much you take in every day visually. Our eyes are this window that if we're not focusing them, they can easily be deceived. In fact, a recent survey showed that 24% of smartphone owners, and I'm pretty sure that's everybody in here, I don't know, can you even buy a dumb phone anymore? Right? 24% of smartphone owners admit to having downloaded inappropriate material on their phone. And Christians, we're not immune to this either. Another study showed that 50% of men and 20% of Christian women say they're addicted to these types of images. I mean, I'm sure if you have an Instagram account or a Facebook account or Snapchat or whatever, it's just constant, right? You have this constant bombardment. And so that's a lot of Christians sitting in church every week facing the same exact struggles that Samson faced and making similar choices. You know, granted, it probably won't result in getting your hair chopped off. You're probably not going to get your eyes gouged out. But I don't know. I've seen a few viral videos out there of some spouses doing worse. So be careful. Because the consequences of sexual sin and stupidity can go and destroy marriages. They can wreck families for generations. And they can just kill ministry. You know, we ought to follow the example of Job, who said, I made a covenant with my eyes to not look lustfully. What's that mean? It means he made a promise to himself and to God that he wouldn't look at others sexually. Job knew that it all started with the information that was coming into his eyes. And so I want to challenge you all right now. I want to challenge the whole church. Let us be a church of integrity and of purity. Because lustful foolishness is what destroyed Samson. That Veruca type, I want it now mindset, and this abundance of temptation that's out there, it's a slippery slope, and it will destroy you too. And now because of that, alone in his dirty cell, humbled for the first time. Samson, he has a lot of time to think about it, time to reflect on his choices and his relationship with God. Often it takes this kind of humility, this hitting rock bottom, that 2x4 to the face that now has you sitting in this darkness for your eyes to be opened. Yet there's hope. There's hope because there is a ray of hope that breaks through to Samson for him to feel the love and the hope and the joy of the Lord. Because the Bible says, but before long, his hair began to grow back. The Philistines clearly missed the importance here. Otherwise, why would they have allowed Samson's hair to grow back? Was it because that they were just blinded him? They thought that now all of a sudden he won't be dangerous? I don't think so, because even a blind Hulk can still smash. But I think because, unlike Samson, they didn't know what a forgiving God looked like. All they knew was that if they betrayed their God, Dagon, especially for the second, third, tenth time, all their gods knew how to do was to destroy and to punish. So they thought, let his hair grow back. It probably never crossed their mind that the one true God loves the most imperfect people. And they certainly did not know that Samson God was one of unlimited grace, unlimited amounts of mercy and forgiveness. Samson probably didn't deserve another chance. I'm sure it's easy to sit there and see our friends that have suffered and just continually sin and sin and sin, like, oh, they don't deserve another chance. But that's not how God looks at us. He already had dozens of chances, but in spite of this continual sin, despite of it and his rebellion, the Spirit of God was still there in that prison. The Spirit of God was just waiting for him to pass on that second chance, to pass on that moral compass to him, even to a wretch like Samson. You know, the Philistines, they wanted to have this great festival and celebration. They wanted to celebrate the capture of Samson. So they called for Samson to be brought out for their entertainment, for him to now be their clown. Can you picture this celebration? They finally have brought the beast to his knees, and he was now on display for all of them to humiliate. I mean, picture it. Picture you're at Fenway Park, max capacity, brimming with more than 1,000 men and women, all shouting and jeering as Samson came onto the stage. Yet what they missed here, what they missed in their roars and their cheers, was the quiet prayer. The simple prayer of faith to God. Sovereign Lord, remember me again, O God. Please strengthen me just one more time. You know, ironically, once his eyes were removed, he was left without sight. He was able to finally see the error of his ways. He knew at that time that he had no choice but to cry out to God and to surrender and be fully at his mercy. So after that prayer, Samson asked one of the servants to position him between these two central pillars in which the temple stood. Cloaked in the darkness, he could feel the graininess of the sandstone between the pillars. He had his palms of his hands there. He braced himself between them, and as still proud of his prayer, he sighed, "Let me die with the Philistines." God not only heard his prayer, but granted his request. As Samson pressed and pressed and pressed the supporting pillars, the whole place began to crack and began to shake, and finally, the roof caved in, crushing everyone inside, utterly destroying Israel's enemy. As far as I can tell, this was Samson's first and only true act of faith. But that was enough for God. In his 11th hour, Samson made the decision that it's better to die for God than to live for himself. In his first act of selflessness, he sacrificed. He sacrificed everything to save his people. It was just one prayer, just one. Just one act of faith after a lifetime of gluttony, gambling, and immoral, gross decisions. But that's all it took. All it took, and God was right there. He was right there ready, listening, and ready. You know, the lesson that we can learn from this misguided musclehead is not just that God uses imperfect people for his glory, but that it's never too late to make the right decision. We've all made mistakes. We've all made some bad choices, but you've never gone too far. God is always waiting. He's always there waiting to turn to the goodness of God. Patiently waiting and listening when you are ready to receive His mercy and His grace and His abundance of love. I mean, have you ever wished that there was some way that you could make up for your bad decisions? Do you wish that you could erase a lifetime of failures or faithlessness? The good news is that Samson shows us you can. You can with one decision, one prayer, one simple act of faith. Jesus Christ can override every sin, sorry, or selfish decision that you've ever made. So be careful. Be careful how you live. Don't be fools, but be like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. You know, if I could have you guys stand with me, if I could have the band come back up. You know, Samson's story, it illustrates how God wants to enable us to fulfill the calling that He's put in our lives. Samson could only further God's mission as God gave him the strength to do it. You know, without that strength, he could do nothing. He could do nothing on his own. But when he was with God, he was completely unstoppable. And whether you're here for the first time, whether you're watching us online right now, do you know that God, He's trying to set you free right now? That He wants to set you free right now. That He wants to break the chains of bondage that you have in your life. I'm telling you right now, you're not here by accident. Maybe you are of the culture and following the cultural path of the day and just leaning into your own devices. It's not too late. You're not too far gone. God is calling you to do as Samson did. So as we get ready to worship, I want you to listen to God speak to you this morning. I want you to just examine the path that you're on right now. Seek your heart. And if you feel like you're living in those chains of bondage and you're just stuck between those two pillars right now, I want you to think about that while we're worshiping. And then after, Pastor Brad's going to give you an opportunity to respond. Amen. Just close your eyes and think.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear. My hope secure.
going to ask our ministry team to come stand across the front. If you're here today, maybe you're online, and you're saying, you know what, I've never committed my life to Christ, and I need that to do that today. I need to break free from the bondage. You're not held by physical chains, but you're held by emotional, spiritual chains, and you need to be free. Today, you can be free. Or maybe you're a Christian, and you know what? You've allowed yourself to become entangled with the ways of this world and with the sins that's holding you back. Regardless of where you're at, come and let this team minister to you. They'll pray with you, talk with you for a minute. Hallelujah. Why don't you just come and receive that? Do it right now. Just step out from where you're at. I'm going to dismiss us in just a moment. But don't leave here without receiving prayer or committing your life to Christ. Whatever it is that you need, don't leave here and say, I'll do it sometime later. I'll do it another day. Today's the day. Tomorrow was not promised. Today's the day. Step in. Lord, thank you for just this wonderful morning that we've had together. And Lord, as we receive your grace and your strength and your help as we come forward, or Lord, as we leave, may the wonder and the power of your presence be with us, we pray. And God, may this week, may we not only thrive, but help others to thrive. In Jesus' name. Amen, friends. Amen. Come and receive prayer. Come and receive, you know, just help receive the Lord, whatever you need to do. God bless you as you go. And there will be Sunday Fun Day team leaders meeting too in the sanctuary here in a few minutes. God bless you. Have a great day. Come and receive. If you got to go, God bless you.
To